I know that the Lord has me doing this for a reason. I had texted Brother BJ and Brandy when they were on a mission trip, and God had been dealing with me for a while about sharing her story, because when he healed her, I promised that I would do that for the rest of my life. And I had been praying about it for a while, and I was sitting in the nursery one night, and I ran into somebody that hadn't heard our story before, and in that moment, God said, it's time. So this morning, I got up, and I was doing my Bible study before church, and God opened me up to Matthew 10:19, and it says, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And that was just confirmation that the Lord had me today, and I didn't have to worry about what I was going to speak, because every time I tried to write down something, I couldn't write anything down. It was just scribble. But I know the Lord's going to give me what I need to say. So I kind of just want to share with what has happened with Landry, and I'm sure most of you know, but we found out we were pregnant, and everything was perfect. Up until about 18 weeks, we had went in. I had to go by myself. Hayden wasn't able to go with me. And I went to find out the gender. And as soon as we walked in the ultrasound room and they started my ultrasound, I could tell something was wrong. The look on the lady's face, I kept asking, is everything okay? And she kept telling me, yeah, and I'm guessing that's what they have to do. But they stayed in there. I stayed in there a whole lot longer than I've ever stayed in there. And every time she would tell me it was okay, I would just push it off. They brought me into Dr. Odie's room for him to come in and talk to me. And before he could even get in there, they had brought me back into the ultrasound room. They said they needed to check things out again, and then I knew something was wrong. So they took me back and did some more scans. And when they brought me back, Dr. Odie came in there, and he had tears falling off his face. And he hugged me before he even said anything. And I asked him if everything was okay. And he told me that there was something wrong with the heart, that they just didn't know what. They were going to run some tests, but everything was going to be okay. In that moment, I broke, I shattered. I didn't understand. But they did some blood work, and I went home. And Hayden met me halfway because I was a mess. And I got in the truck with him. And that night, it was a Wednesday when we found out. We went to church that night, and it was when we were having outside church. And I remember Brother Whooper and April got up, and they sung, there was Jesus. And before they even sung, Whooper said he had no clue that there was anything wrong. But he said, there's someone with a heart problem tonight. Something's wrong with someone's heart. And in that moment, since that day, that song has stuck with me, and I've heard it almost every day since that day. I heard it yesterday morning. And after that night, about a week later, we went to see Dr. Brewer in Tupelo. And Hayden was able to go with me that day. And we just started praying after we found out at Dr. Odie's. We just asked God to be with us, whatever it was that he had it. So we went in to Dr. Brewer's, and he come in, and he did not sugarcoat anything, and he just pretty much told us that there was no way that Landry was going to be able to sustain a heart rate of that low for so long, that she was going to die in utero, and it was only a matter of time that she was going to develop heart failure and high drops, and she was going to die. And I saw Hayden break that day like I've never seen him break before. They gave us about 10 minutes to ourselves after they came in and told us, and we just shattered. We couldn't even hold on to each other. We didn't know where to turn. And in the moment when you find out something, you get a bad report or you're going through a storm, the first thing you should do is look to Jesus. But it's hard when it's you. You know, people always told us, look to God, it's going to be okay, you know, have faith. But when your faith is tested, it's tough. But after that day, me and Hayden prayed, and we said we're going to fight for her. You know, we're not giving up on her. That's what the doctor says. That's not what the ultimate physician says. So after that day, I'm not going to say it was easy, because it was not. It was, I really feel like we have PTSD from it. But every day after that, we just gave it to God every single day. We said, Lord, this is your baby. This is not our baby. And your will be done. We'll praise you with whatever. So after that, we were sent to Jackson, Mississippi, and we were seen there, and they confirmed everything that the doctors had been telling us. And we rocked on, and every doctor's appointment, they just couldn't understand why Landry was so busy. She was always smiling. You know, doctors don't understand if they don't know Jesus. Most of them think that if they cure you, it's from them, and it's not. That's why they never understood. And every time I would just smile and say, that's my Jesus, because that's all it was. There's no reason that she should have even been moving in my womb with a heart rate of that low. I thank God let me be a NICU nurse for a little sight, you know, of what could have happened, but what God can do. Because with any baby that drops below 60, I mean, y'all know, they cut them. You know, that's emergency C-section. There's no reason that Landry should have even be here today, much less rolling around in the womb and screaming like she does today. But it's Jesus. I mean, it's Jesus all over it. So anyway, we kept going back to the doctor, and every time we'd get a bad report. But I would say that our faith, Jesus had us. I mean, I could have crumbled every time I went in that doctor's office, but I held on to the faith that Jesus had us. He did not bring us here to let us go. So we rocked on. In about 34 weeks, when I was pregnant, I went back to Jackson, and they told us that she had co-arch of her aorta, and they said they were going to have to do surgery right after she was born. So it just felt like a knife had been stuck in me again. You know, as soon as we feel like we're getting somewhere, the rug slipped up from under us. After we found out that, we rocked on, and me and my mom moved to Jackson. And it seemed like every time we went back to the doctor, her heart rate was getting lower. And they told us if it got below 50 that they were going to have to take her. So we prayed that she would make it to 37 weeks. Our first prayer was that she made it 34 weeks, and we made it there. And then we prayed that we would make it 37 weeks, and that's when they cut her. And I remember when we went in, Brother BJ came and prayed, and I just had this peace over me. I was not worried when I went in. I was peaceful, and I know that was God, because that was not me at all. I'm a worryful person. I worry anyways. But I remember they had laid me down on the table, gave me my anesthesia and all that, and they cut her, got her out, and I didn't hear her cry, and they went back to work on her, and Hayden sat out there with me, and my doctor came out, and she just had this big old grin on her face. And I remember her saying, you're not going to believe this, but her heart rate is 120, and she's perfect. She has red hair. And they said she's doing great. and I heard her little cry, and I fell apart, and Hayden laughed at me, but I was like, this is what we prayed for. You know, I wanted to hear that cry, I longed for that cry, and I heard it. So after she was born, they took her to the PICU for a few days, and she got lines and all that stuff, but she was perfect. She was beat everything the doctors had told her that she was going to have to face when she was born. She didn't have to do any of it. So I went to recovery, and I was probably an hour or two after I was in recovery, and her cardiologist come in there with the nurse, and one was smiling and one was crying. And the nurse reminded me of my mom because she cried all the time. And she was bawling her eyes out. And Dr. Shores, which is her cardiologist, was smiling. And she said, you're not going to believe this, but there is no co-arc of her aorta. There's no thinning. And she will not need a pacemaker when she goes home. Amen. And she said, I don't know how. I don't know what happened. It just happened. I was like, no, it didn't just happen. That's a miracle, and that's my God. So after that, we were on cloud nine. We got to take her home not long after. All of her echoes looked great. And so we took her home, and about a month later, after we had got her home, we had come back for her checkup with her cardiologist. And we were expecting a good report when we went. And I remember them sending us into a back room where they don't send any patients. And they told us to wait there, that they would begin to talk with us later. And I kept telling Hayden something was wrong. And so she come in there and told us that they thought she had co-arc of her aorta again, and that she had no pulses on her legs. From the waist down, she didn't have any pulses. And so they were going to admit us, and that she would probably be having surgery tomorrow. And in that moment, I know that when Satan throw something at you, and you give just a little bit. You give a little bit of fear, he's going to throw something else at you with it. So then and there, it just took me back to everything that we have been through with her already before she even got here, and fear come over me. And it was just Satan, because God had her. I mean, he had carried her that far. But we got admitted, and that's when we found out that she had pulmonary hypertension. And after that, we went home on oxygen, and God was good to us. You know, he carried us through that. And she's gotten sick and had to go to Jackson a few times, but there's not a single moment that God wasn't in that. And I remember when we had went to the hospital one time, I think it was when we were admitted for, she had bronchiolitis or something, and I met this lady down there, and she had a son named Carson, and he had cancer. And we were just in the cafeteria, and we were getting in the line for food, and Hayden had asked for a bacon cheeseburger or something, and they didn't have bacon. And this lady behind us, she had told us, you know, that there was bacon and stuff at Subway that you could go get, and she was real sweet. So we just carried on and got our food, and we had got after to check out and to get our bags and all of our other stuff. And God kept telling me, ask her what her son's name is and pray for her. And I was like, no, that's crazy. You know, she has no clue who I am. I don't know who she is. And it would not stop. And I turned around and said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I said, but can I ask you what your son's name is so I can pray for him? And we had church in that cafeteria, and I know everybody around us thought we were crazy, but she was telling me that, you know, we should thank God for our miracle before it even gets here. Even if it hasn't come yet, even if it's not in your timing, even if it's in the midst of the fire, when you're walking through those fiery flames, praising for that miracle that's coming, because it is coming. There's never been a single moment that God did not walk with us in the fire, and I've always clung to that song, there's another in the fire, because there is. No matter what you're facing, if you're in the hottest flame, God's right there holding your hand, and it may not feel like it at the time, but he's right there. I clung to this going through everything, and it said, don't let your worry be louder than your praise. And that's a strong statement, because worry will eat you alive. And it did. I remember laying in her nursery crying my eyes out and holding on to the three crosses that Caruth gave us. And I laid on the floor and I asked God, I begged with him. I said, is there something that I'm doing wrong, that's wrong in my life that's causing this for my baby? Because if it is, Lord, remove it. And every time, God will remind me, you are in my will. And the safest place to be is in God's will. Yeah. If you're walking through the fire and you're in God's will, there's nothing to worry about.
Right.
God is and always will be bigger than any battle you're facing. She had had her heart surgery when she was about 10 months old. And that was a God thing, because after her surgery, she... pulmonary hypertension is not even in the question anymore. Her lungs look perfect. But anyway, after she had surgery, her oxygen dropped to 18%, and they had to bag her. And me and Hayden watched that. That was probably one of the toughest times that we've ever had to witness, to see her baby laying there lifeless, blue, and... God held us through that, and 10, 15 minutes later, she was extubated and sticking her tongue out at us. So, lost my train of thought. But after her surgery and everything was going good, they had taken her off oxygen, and the doctors come in and put her oxygen back on, didn't explain anything to us. They just put it back on and walked out the door. And fear set in again. And it's easy for fear to set in when you go through a lot. And it did. It set in a lot. And so another doctor come in and they explained to us that Landry was in mild heart failure. And I broke. I remember opening my Bible after the doctors had left, and this is the only place that I opened up to, and it's in Jeremiah 32:26. It says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And that was like a slap in the face, like, do you think this is too hard for me? I've carried you this far, and you're worrying about something that I can take care of. And then over here in Jeremiah 33:6, it says, behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And that verse I have held on. I had it in my car. I've held on to since that day, because it says, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And throughout this whole time, I remind God of his promises, because that's what we should do. You know, God's promised us, and this is his love letter to us. That means I'm going to remind God of what he's promised me, and I'm going to claim it. And when you do that, and when you have that mindset of God's going to fix whatever I've got going on, that removes all fear. Of course it's going to creep in, because that's what Satan wants. And once you cling on to the fact that God has you and he's never let you go, he's never failed you, it's going to be worth it. And I'm going to play a song after, and it's talking about how it's going to be worth it in the end. Just to see Jesus' face and all trials and tribulations, they'll all be worth it when we get to heaven. We may not understand why we go through stuff right now, and I couldn't tell you why we went through what we went through with Landry. I can't tell you why we had to go through that. I always questioned, and I think it's okay to question God sometimes, you know, to ask God why, you know, what's going on in my life that I have to go through this, but who am I? That's what God would always remind me. Who are you? You know, you're not nothing better than anybody else. And he had a plan and he had a purpose. And I thought my faith was strong before we went through everything, but it wasn't. This has brought my faith to a new... I've been able to share with people that I had no clue they were going through anything. And God's given me the boldness to share it with them. And I just thank God for everything he's brought us through. And Landry, you could not even tell it. Nothing was wrong with her. She's wild as a buck and growls at everybody. But
yeah, that's her in the back if you ain't figured it out yet.
You have anything you want to say?
Yeah,
Kenzie basically told the story of what happened, but I was going to kind of tell what I got out of this. And like I say, she figured out at 18 weeks something was wrong, and we went to the multiple doctor's visits, and they told us, you know, basically there's no hope for her is what they basically said. The whole time going through this, Kenzie always, you know, we prayed constantly. And Kenzie would always ask me, you know, do you think she's going to be all right? And I would always tell her, oh, yeah. You know, I have full confidence and full faith that she's going to be 100% okay. And she'd always tell me, you don't ever worry about nothing. You don't ever worry. This is serious. You know, you don't ever worry. And I told her, I don't have to worry. I feel at peace. I feel like everything's going to be okay. You know, I've prayed about it. I just feel like God's going to pull her through this. And like I say, we got to the point of her surgery. And like she said, she coded in front of us. This whole time, and you know, it's you're standing from here to that front pew watching your baby thinking, my baby's fixing to die right here in front of me. And I thought to myself, I've had faith this whole time. You know, I've kept saying, you know, she's going to be all right. I've kept the faith. I kept confident she was going to be okay. God's going to pull her through this. But in that moment, when we watched that, me and Kenzie prayed. And for the first time, I actually asked God, you know, God, what are you doing? You know, you brought us this far for all this. You know, why end it here? Please don't end it here. Please do not take our baby from us. And we always would ask God, God, we want you to heal her. We want her to have a story. We want her to be able to tell her story to everybody. We hope that people can come to know you through what you've done in her life. And it wasn't, you know, she got better. She did great. You know, we still had faith that everything was going to go great. And it wasn't until about, I'd say 3 months later maybe, we still had the fellowship hall. It was a Monday night men's discipleship class that Brother Brent leads. And Brother Rick was on the screen there, and I can't remember what the lesson was exactly about. This was a while ago, but I remember he mentioned something about Daniel in the lion's den and how Daniel should have been so afraid with the lions around him. And it was at that moment, you know, I felt God talking to me. And it was like he said, you know, hey, you big goofball, this is what I was trying to show you in that point. You asked for this. You asked for her to have a story. You asked me to bring her through something so that she could have a story. You asked me to bring her through this. Would you just step back and trust in me? Let me handle things. And it was at that moment, I didn't understand at the time. It came 4 months later before I understood why she had to go through that. But I wanted to read this little piece of passage here, and it to me it talks about having faith and when you're going through a storm. And I read this to our Awana kids on Wednesday night, and I really like it. It's coming out of Matthew chapter number 14. It starts in verse 22. It says, Jesus just fed the multitude. And it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered to him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt me? That really just, you know, kind of speaks to me about what we had to go through. And as I... when we were in that moment of when Landry was coded and we thought, you know, this is it, this is the end. It's like I felt Jesus say, be not afraid. You know, I've got this. And this kind of, you know, if somebody's going through something right now, this is what I would recommend to you. And this is some crowd participation right here. That's what I told our kids on Awana. Everybody take your hands, do like yeah. All right, now do like yes. Around your eyes. You can't see anything that's going on around you to your side. All you can see is what is that straight in front of you. They call that tunnel vision. Anybody who's ever been through a tunnel, and I'm not talking about no Gatlinburg Aquarium, a tunnel where you can see the fish and all around you. I'm talking Mobile, Alabama, going through the long tunnel to the beach. You can't see anything that's going on around you. All you can see is what's at the very end of that tunnel. And as I told our kids, you know, you ought to have tunnel vision for Jesus. Come on. You ought to block out when the winds is boisterous and the world is bringing you down constantly and you feel like you're going through stuff. If you'll just block it all out and just focus on God at the end of that tunnel, He will not let you drown. He will bring you through it. And even if you do lose that focus, because I mean, everybody, it's going to happen at some time. Everybody's going to lose their focus on God. And I know I've done it. I've done it many a times. Just call out to Him. He's never too far away. He will come and pull you out of whatever you're in. And that's just what I've learned from it. And I'm thankful for what God's brought her through, and I'm thankful for what He's done in our lives. And now that we have a story to tell about her, I pray that every day somebody can learn to come to know Jesus through her story. And I constantly, I talk about it all the time with Kenzie. I pray one of these days she gets to grow up and tell her story to everybody. And that's what I learned from it. Praise God.
I just want to share this lyrics from these songs that we held on to when we were going through something, and I hope it helps somebody that's going through it. It says, I'll praise before my breakthrough till my song becomes my triumph. I will sing because I trust You when I'm living out my faith. When I'm stepping on the sea, I know You will take my hand and walk with me. I will praise You on the mountain. I will praise You when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are, so I will praise You in the valley all the same. So if you're going through something, I just encourage you to praise Him before your breakthrough, because it's coming. And it may be hard right now, but the way I've always looked at it is a glow stick never glows until it's broken. Until God breaks you and makes you into what He wants you to be, you'll never shine the way He needs you to shine. And like a rubber band, when you pull it so far, you're going to soar. So you may feel like you're getting pulled in every direction and that you can't take any more, but I promise you that when it's time for God to give you your breakthrough, you're going to soar like wings, like eagles with wings. So, got anything else? I think that's it. We are going to play a song, if that's okay.